Blog Talk Radio.
Out there in video land, what's going on? Good evening. It is April the 11th, 2023, and you have tuned in to Life Be Life, and I am your host, Tony D.
And I am your co-host, D to the J. So, once again, we want to thank y'all for tuning in. It's a special episode. It's Tuesday. We normally drop on Wednesday, but we have a special episode this week simply because we're going to honor tomorrow. It is my co-host, amazing wife's birthday. Shout out to Nidra Dyson. It's her birthday. So we're going to do it a little different today. Today's topic is a little bit deeper than what we normally would tap into. Am I in a toxic relationship? So without further ado, we just want to jump straight in. We have beautiful luxury of having somebody on the phone right now. I'm going to give a little bit of backdrop about what today's show is going to be on. We're going to jump straight into our caller. Bro, give a little bit of background just on today's topic, just so the people can get an idea of really what we're going to be dealing with.
Yeah, so today we're touching the subject of, is my relationship toxic? And, you know, the more we start to see, the more we look back upon our own relationships and we see this going on. There's a lot of domestic violence going on where husbands are killing wives and children and wives are killing husbands and children. And, you know, there's all kind of things going on. And, you know, of course, Life Be Life, and it wants to bring you quality premium programming. And this is something that's going on in our community right now. So if it's going on in our community, we might as well go ahead and address it. And because we know life be lifer, man, but this is a platform and a place where people can kind of come and, you know, let their thoughts hang out, comment on the subject without people being judgmental or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? We all gonna come together and eat together at the table. And prayerfully that when this show is over, that with the resources that are going to be given, if you're in a toxic relationship, you'll be able to identify it and be able to start maneuvering your way, because best believe me, your life does depend on it.
That's good. That's good. Okay, caller, bro, you ready to just jump straight in, man? Let's get our first interview going. I really think this is something that the people need to hear. I met this young lady about a week back, and the story that she provided to me, it was really captivating. I felt it was something that was needed for her to just express her situation. As she starts to talk, I'll kind of recap, you'll get a better idea of the exact to whys. Bro, whenever you're ready, let's go ahead and just pull her in. That call ID, I believe, should be 2808. It's her last four digits.
Yes, sir. She's live and hot.
Perfect.
Hi, how are you doing?
Outstanding. So introduce yourself if you want to give your name. If you don't, that's great as well. But I want you to just tell your story, tell your truth as far as your, I guess, involvement in a toxic situation or a toxic relationship.
So my name is Mia, and I have a 2-month-old, and around 11th day of like having my baby. I had baby daddy issues. I mean, it was more, I guess it's just like communication. It's always communication issues and then pressure from outside sources trying to like, trying to like keep your word. I think that's what it is. And having a pressure of like being older because you're in your mid-30s and trying to get it together. And then, you know, expectations are not met on either side. And it's just like from, I guess, emotional abuse. And then eventually what led up to the event was me and my stepmom were hanging out with our baby, and my son's father just misheard our conversation, saying like we were talking bad about his family in the small house that we're in. And yeah, and it just, he put hands on her. You know, his rationale was, oh, she's not a woman, she's a bee. And I just couldn't take it. So it always happens. It's something leading up to something. And yeah.
So was that the first time that, I guess, any type of physical altercation that took place? Or
yeah.
Were there any signs
and
that led up to
it? One time,
ideally,
you know.
That's what a lot of people are going to be looking at is, you know, yes, there's an event. There's some form of physical trauma, physical violence. But before it turns physical, what are some things that kind of looking back, and I know they say hindsight is 20/20, but when you look back at the situation, what are some things that you can kind of say, you know what,
red
I kind of see this a little different.
Like, I feel for him too, like, but on my perspective, I just felt like in the relationship, like, I gave him a lot of chances, and they're pretty obvious. He had just had anger issues, and it doesn't help that I push his buttons, but not to the point where you put your hands on somebody, you know?
If you don't mind sharing, before we just go a little further, are you okay with releasing, like, ethnic descent? Because I think that's really important.
Oh, so I'm Asian American.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter, I mean, what race I am, but yeah, I mean, people think just because we're Asian, and specifically I'm Southeast Asian, but I was born in the U.S., so it's like I don't fit in as an American, and I don't fit in as an Asian. And I look Mexican or Latino. So, I mean, it's all different backgrounds. I mean, domestic violence is very common in our community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the one thing that I told you when we had met, why I felt what you was telling me was so powerful was because, you know, and I think within every community where this is a situation that affects everyone, there's a lot of times we just don't see what's going on the other side of the fence. And so as we go to different communities, you know, we just don't see that.
No, you know, people just think it's just like underserved populations or minorities. Oh, well, we are technically minorities. Within Asians, we have our own hierarchy and racism and colorism, but people just don't hear about it because it's very black and white. But it's honestly, his background is he grew up in the projects as an Asian and got bullied, but he grew up more in the streets where I grew up more in the suburbs. So there's that. So he has experienced more of what you call like homelessness and rejection, which turned into anger, where mine is more like sadness and frustration. So we both have unresolved trauma.
Gotcha.
And when you are unhealed and you bring a lot of issues like that, it's very hard.
Indeed. Looking to give the listeners in Radio Land, because like you said, you know, going through this, it's hard. And you did mention that you have a 2-month-old child, so now we have a child in the picture. What advice would you give to just other male and female listeners where they may have children, maybe considering starting a family with this particular person? what advice would you kind of say to prepare as best as possible? Because we can never fully prepare.
Yeah, you can never be prepared. This is my first child and his first child. And then within our culture, we're very sexist. We prefer males, girls, and females are like just, you know, they don't carry the line, the name of the family or whatnot. So I would say set boundaries, and you're going to create your own culture. So you have to, there's no, like, there's going to be arguments, but you should be prepared to have a kid, and you got to decide, like, deep down, like, I still love my baby's daddy, and I have lots of love for him, and I could even see myself being back, because that's how toxic it is. But give yourself time, and time is, like, very hard, because there's never enough time, but you have to decide, like, you have a life that's dependent on you. Are you ready to be a mom or a dad? And if not, you have to make that soon, because you can't be like, oh, I love my baby daddy and I die for him. And then, like, what about your kid? Like, you have to fight for them because they don't have a voice. You can't have kids just to have kids, you know, just to keep your guy or your girl. And I guess, like, accountability is what we talked about.
Kind of share your thoughts on kind of what she's speaking to.
Yeah, so, Mia, good evening. How are you today? And thank you for sharing your story with us. And, Darren, but then, you know, I'm very big on definitions. So as Mia was talking, I just started to look up the definition of toxic. And when I read this, a lot of the things that she said, you know what I'm saying, really hits home. But I have some furthering, you know, want to enlighten just a little bit more, go a little deeper if we can. Now, Mia, let me say this. As you're on telling your truth, at any point in time that we start getting to the real meat and potatoes and you feel uncomfortable, you need a minute, let us know. You know what I'm saying? Even as simple as, hey, y'all, I really don't feel comfortable answering that question. And we will understand. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right. So what is the definition of toxic? A toxic person is anyone whose behavior adds negativity and to upset your life. Many times people are toxic or dealing with their own stress and traumas. To do this, they act in ways that don't present them in the best light and usually upset others along the way. So, Mia, that really, you know, hit on a couple of things that you were talking about. What was your exit? Did you finally say to yourself, I've had enough, no more? What finally
it
got
took
you?
It took that event to happen. Because we were in together for, like, not even a year, so it was too soon. But we were both trying to find an escape for each other and just found each other. So bonded trauma, like, you know, trying to, like, help people and be nice. And I still love him, and I wish, you know, I have love for him. You can have love for somebody, but be apart, because, like, it's either you could be the next victim, you know. It's toxic on both sides. We bring out the ugly in each other.
So you said something that really stands out. You used the phrase the bond, the familiar bond of hurt. So just to get a more well-rounded picture of the situation, what was your kind of reaction or action to get a reaction?
I don't really know, honestly, because it gets confusing. It really does. So it's like, I guess, like, we would be joking, I guess. And I would take it, to him, it was, like, more of an insult. And to me, it wasn't. And we'd be joking, and then it's, like, a pile effect where it piles up and eventually it's going to blow over. but when it, like, it never, it, sometimes you only, it takes you once to see somebody's true colors to really know what's really deep inside of them. And probably he's battling his own demons, but that's how he lets it out physically. But I don't want to be the next victim and not our son. Like, so I don't think that's him. Yeah.
So armed with the experiences that you have right now under your belt, being able to go through it, looking back and identifying what has changed in Mia, what direction, you know, are you headed, and kind of how are you re-strengthening yourself and getting your whole self back?
It's really hard to straighten yourself. It's like you're hurt, right? You're semi-broken, but you're not fully broken. But you have to tell yourself to focus, that you have responsibilities as a mother. Like, this child's going to model after you, one or the other, you know. And usually by, like, three, you remember things, and you model things. And I don't want my child to see the ugly in both of the parents and see parents fighting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a perfect parent, and you're not going to be able to not traumatize your kid. But you're able to control your actions. So, like, all the cliche things and quotes that people say, like, oh, you know, be positive. Like, there's days where you're going to have to be positive, even though you don't want to. So, like, the pain outweighs everything. Like, the pain of, like, I chose my child. That's my focus. So, however I'm going to have to sacrifice, I have to sacrifice for my child.
Indeed.
So I will have to cut off.
So in the process of you trying to heal, how's the family situation like versus his family, your family? Is there any type of tension or, you know, or disagreements or differences that you just kind of see yourself getting over?
So, of course, his family is going to ride or die for him. So they think I'm a evil person, or like I'm keeping his kid away from him, or, you know. And then my parents are like, we support you. It's very hard to separate things. It's not very black and white, but if you just tune out the noise and do the best you can, I think it really shows. And people can say all types of stuff, like, his sisters are attacking me. They say, like, oh, we gave you money. We gave you this and that. So what? So there's a power struggle. Like, oh, we're, you know, you should have come with us. You know, you're not a so great person like we thought you were, you know. And all this negative stuff really weighs you down. And it's like you're already down, and then you break even further. But the body and the mind is very strong. So hopefully, you know, if you're in the same situation, just think positive, and you have to think for you and the baby or your dependent. Yeah.
And Mia, looking back over everything, there's someone that's going to be listening, someone that may catch the archive. What cries for help? Like, what are signs where you were trying to reach out to people saying, yo, I need help? Were there situations where you were trying to get in touch with someone to say, hey, I need help, and possibly you were ignored? And this is a two-part question. And the second part, because I really want to be real, and again, if this is too far, let me know. Was there ever a time that you either thought about hurting him or hurting yourself?
No, I didn't think about hurting him or myself, because I had to live for my child. So if your main focus is your kid and you, then you wouldn't want to kill yourself. But there's times where it gets really dark and you want to get out. And I could see how it could be harming yourself or others, but that's not the way. Because to me, that's too easy. And I guess I like a challenge. But it was hard letting your family know that you're breaking down. It feels like, it really feels like you failed. Like, you know, you failed in life and that you should have done better, that you should have listened to them or whoever. So I'm lucky to have a family to support me. There are some people that may not have a family. And maybe there's actually a lot of people and strangers feel for you. And it's like how I got onto this, you know, this podcast, because there's somebody, a stranger, you know, that was willing to hear me out. So yeah, there's a lot of support. You just have to find it.
Awesome. Well, Mia, real quick, we're going to take a break. I know that you said a mouthful, give you a chance to kind of regroup and whatnot. We're going to come back with one more question from me, one more question from D, and then your final thoughts. Does that work?
Yeah.
So, y'all, before we go to commercial break to pay these bills, if you're listening, streaming, iPhone, iPad, whatever the case you got, feel free to call in and join the conversation. The guest call-in number is area code 516-531-9473, and we'll be back shortly with more Life Be Lifin'. Brought to you by Lit Creations. Trust me, anything that you get is lit. Also, co-sponsoring Life Be Lifin' is Connect Me. Connect Me is a social media network for small business owners. Tap in and let us help you extend your reach. All right, as we are back with Mia, I'm going to toss it over. I'll leave it to my brother D. You there, bro? All righty. We might have lost him real quick. If you can hear me, bro, just call in the number. I'll get you right on the air. Well, Mia, while we're waiting for him to work through that really quick, you can hear me well, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So your final thoughts until D gets back on the line. What are your final thoughts? You know, what state of mind are you now? Where are you headed? And what are you aspiring to do right now?
I'm trying to really, like, physically be ready, mentally just heal and prepare, because you can never be too prepared for both anything that happens. So I have to plan for that, and I'm very anxious. Because I think it's like 30 days I haven't talked to him. And he's not a bad father. You know, if I ask anything, he'll get it. But I just have to cut. And I'm doing a 30-day no contact. So it's approaching. And so it's actually pretty scary cutting somebody off for 30 days. I guess it's almost like a drug addiction, you know, anything mm-hmm. you're addicted to. You're trying to get it detox and get it out of your system. And it takes, I think 30 days is good, but I'm sure some people, it takes longer. Some people will, relapse. For me, I could see myself doing that, but I have to tell myself I need to be healthy. So I have to be physically healthy, mentally, and spiritually. However spiritually, but the first step is always hard, and then continuing that. For me, it's like trying to get my career going and saving up for my son. Because it seems like it's going to be a hard world no matter what. And you can never be overprepared.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put all, for me, it's like I have to put all my material things to the side that are no longer serving me, my purpose.
Mm.
I have hoarding tendencies. So I'm doing like a spring cleaning and stuff like that. Because I realize I keep material things because that's the only thing I feel like I can control. Talking to people. So hopefully maybe I'll find a therapist to talk to. And you'd be surprised, a lot of strangers, you don't know what they're going through. And maybe that person is really toxic just in that event, but doesn't mean they're a bad person. Just because you're toxic doesn't mean you're bad.
Right.
I think everybody has, you know, that's how you learn. But just, you know, it's the basic thing, try not to harm others. Because the difference between us and, like, a predator, you know, we have a mind, we're given a mind to think. Because it's easy to go crazy. That's, to me, it's a challenge for me. So in this game of life, it's easy to go crazy. So now bring someone into the mix, you have to be responsible.
Gotcha. Right. And
yeah, that's good. Point? That's good.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. Mia, you still there? Awesome.
Yeah, I apologize. We had some connection issues. One thing I wanted to kind of jump into real quick that she had mentioned, she was saying that family, she has the support, but everybody does not. So just wanted to pause real quick. Anybody that's going through a particular situation, whether it's physical, verbal abuse, the national hotline, National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233. That number again, 1-800-799-7233. That is the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Mia, real quick, you had said something earlier that I wanted to kind of touch back on. You were stating that even though you know the situation is toxic, there would be a consideration of possibly getting back with this gentleman in a relationship. Do you feel or ever worry that maybe there could be a situation that will come about again, or what things would you consider before you said, yes, let's try this again?
Honestly, I don't know. So that's the scary part, but I know I have to give myself like at least 2 years. And if any relationship, it will be with just like him being the father, like co-parenting. Like it's so hard. It's risky. It's a gamble. Like if I don't know, he has a short fuse. So better if I do long distance and don't see him.
Okay.
Don't have any contact besides just for, like, to meet up with my son or be around. As far as us together, it's really hard to tell. I want to give myself a chance to maybe see other people, you know, and be free and understand, like, myself better. I think that's what most people are stuck at. It can take you 40 years, 50 years, 100 years to figure yourself out, and that's up to you. For me, I feel like I don't have enough time, so I might not even see him, and I might not. I really don't know. That's the part where it's kind of scary. But
okay.
I want to give myself time. So I'm saying 2 years.
Okay. Now,
so
in the midst of you kind of finding all of that and kind of finding yourself and learning you, what are your thoughts in pursuing, like, any type of counseling to kind of work
mm-hmm.
through maybe childhood issues? Because you mentioned childhood issues
mm-hmm.
for you. You mentioned
yeah.
childhood issues for him. Like, would you consider counseling? Do you feel like the childhood upbringing might play a part in the toxic?
Background does affect you. Nobody really tells you that up front. I mean, some people are like, oh, well, there, it's obvious. I was talking about going to see a therapist to kind of record and document what's going on. And I think what I ultimately am is I'm afraid to be alone. And I like company, you know, but it also means, like, there's some company you have to say no to. Not all company is good company.
Very true. I'm glad you admitted that. I would share the same sentiment. I'm the same way. I realized years and years ago, like, you know, some dudes, they, you know, they like to play the field. They want to be single. They don't want to be in a serious relationship or married. That concept of one woman isn't them. And then on the contrary, just like you said, I don't want to be alone. I like the relationship. I like being a husband, a father in the household. And yes, we just have to kind of weed out and just kind of figure out what is best for us, what is best for our particular situation. As we kind of conclude our interview, Mia, one, we want to thank you so much for your time. Our thoughts and prayers are with you just as you go through your particular situation. If you ever decide that you need to talk, you know, we're always here. Hopefully, you know, you can reach out to me. I really appreciate you just shedding light from one, not only a woman's perspective, your situation, because it is so personal and invasive. And we thank you just for kind of letting us in. Anything you want to say just to the listeners as you exit, any final thoughts? We'll give you a quick 30 seconds.
So just, like, be safe and be healthy and be positive, and there is there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and just do good.
Good deal.
Good when it hurts. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Mia, if you don't mind, if you have time, feel free to hang around for another 30 minutes as a listener. Callers might have some Q&A for you. We would love to hear you chime in and just get your feedback. Bro, let's do a quick commercial break, man. Let's pay a quick bill, and we will be back. Listeners, we're going to jump right into our second interview and get a male's perspective, a male's intake on the situation, and we will be back.
All right, y'all. As we start to transition back, man, I know I did it last week, but I still want to wish my beautiful wife a happy, happy birthday on tomorrow. And again, that's why we're doing a special show on today. Man, I really just want to thank Mia for her courage, man, because it takes a lot to get before strangers and kind of air your dirty laundry, man, and just for people to kind of hear what you've been going through, whether it was abusive or neglect or whatever the case may be. So this evening, we also have a call, as my brother mentioned earlier, from a male's perspective. And as I've dealt with, you know, toxic relationships myself in the past, you know, it's going to be very intriguing on how, you know, a man kind of perceives this situation. So, y'all, right about now, I'm going to bring on my caller. And, sir, are you there this evening?
Yes, I am.
Hey, good evening. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, man, I cannot complain, man. Glad to be alive. Glad to be on here with you, for you to share your story. So, if you like to, you know, give the listeners your name, and, you know, kind of the background, backdrop to the story, and you can jump right on in.
Well, my name is Anonymous. And the backdrop of my story is, well, there's a lot of ways I can go into this, but I'll just pick the best direct way I can go into it. Abuse is abuse, okay?
Agreed.
Whether it's verbal, physical, mental. So, in my particular situation, it was in kind of every category: physical, mental, and verbal. So, I'll just go into a small little dialogue of my own personal, you know what I'm saying? Not too much, but just a little bit of the toxicness a relationship can have and the things it can bring to an individual, whether man or woman, weakness, physically and mentally, loss of oneself, just out of tune with the world in itself, period, in the whole. I've dealt with a lot of BS, I'll say, in better choice of words, in prior relationships. I've had, you know, guns pulled on me. I've been cheated on, been left astray. I can go on for days with it. But it's one thing to deal with a toxic relationship, but this is what I'll say also, and the advice that I give other people. It's one thing to be in it, but it's another thing to be out of it. And what I mean by that is when you're in it, you can't see an out.
Mm.
It's always, you know, something to distort your vision, your view of what it could be besides this person. I'm a victim of that. All the thing that I could see was this person and how to make it better, with the knowledge that knowing that there could possibly be something better outside of this. But when you love somebody, and love is a very unique thing, because it affects you in so many ways, it becomes uncontrollable. And by that, I mean things you don't want to do, you end up doing anyway. Things you don't want to say, you end up saying anyway. Gestures you might want to make, you end up making them anyway to make the other person comfortable, but yet you're still in a messed up circumstance yourself. I'm a victim of that as well. I was always an uplifter. I always tried to encourage and build and want the same that I would want for myself, for whomever I was dealing with, or my mate, whatever. But I found myself in a dark place when those things weren't being reciprocated. And I feel like I was just a person. I was no longer a lover. I was no longer a human. I was no longer a man. I was no longer, you know, a boyfriend, a husband, or any of those things. I just was a person in a position. And that caused me to go in a very detrimental place where it was dark. And I found myself all alone. And in that lonesomeness, I was able to discover things about myself that I've forgotten. And those things were how much I loved myself, how much I loved my family, my child, and the things that I loved about life that inspired me to want to grow back into that person again. And It's hard. It's easier said than done. It's a lot of people in that situation right now that's trapped. It's an entrapment when you're in love, when you have a comfortableness, you know, to people that you think they got the best interest for you, the people that you think got your back and stuff like that. But when reality sets in and you see that you're really all alone in this dark space, man, it hurts and you find yourself lost. And that's where I was, you know, and that affected me mentally, physically, you know, everything. I was losing weight. My family was wondering what was going on with me. I was, you know, I was just in a place that, you know, I was just trapped. I feel I was in a sunken place, better choice.
Okay.
So for me personally, man, and I, you know, and I always love to speak on this because I know it's a lot of people that goes through this as well. And I just always want to be the advocate of, you know, getting out. You know, like I said, if I wrote a book, I wanted to call it Getting Out, you know, just because there's always a way, whether it's physical abuse, whether, no matter what it is, man, there's always a way out. But it's hard to find that direction, and I can vouch for that. But it takes some real determination, some real self-finding, some real understanding of oneself of what do you really want? Where do you really want to go? What do you really want out of life? Whom do you really want to be with? For me, most is when I began to love myself again. I think that's what those were my crutches for my rebirth of the new person that I am today. So, you
like
know,
that.
And I've been in altercations, you know, where, you know, last guns been pulled on me, you know, in front of my child, been, you know, undermined, been, you know, disrespected, been, you know, looked down upon, you know, in positions that where I just don't understand. I couldn't understand why it was happening to me, you know. And that'll also make a person lost when they just find themselves just not getting an understanding of why these things happen. When all you really want is for the best of the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a drug, man. Love,
so let me ask you this real quick, caller. So you mentioned the fact that, you know, if getting out is very crucial. Are there things that are said that on the opposite to where they kind of lure you in? Because it's very, very easy for us to kind of look back and say, okay, this situation is toxic. It has me in a bad spot. I need to get out. But what are some things that a spouse or a significant other, whatever that situation may look like, what are some things that they've said, that they've done, that kind of give you hope? Okay, maybe this is the last time. Let me try to see this through. Are there things that they use to kind of trap you?
Well, I'll say this. Manipulation is real. It's very well and alive. And those who know how to manipulate, you know, and to those who are soft in the inside, man, and have a real, real understanding of what this love thing is, can be manipulated. And, you know, people like that will lure you in with the I'm sorry's and the, you know,
there's
another chance,
and
you know,
yeah,
the things that we can make it work, and all the encouraging things that you, in actuality, you really want.
Right.
So, and then it becomes a routine after so long because they know how to get to you. They know how to penetrate your emotions to where they can get what they want out of you and still have their cake at the same time. A lot of people in that situation, they don't really have intentions on, you know, changing or being different. They just want whatever it is to keep you around and, you know, in their grace to where you don't leave them and they can still have an advantage. I was victim of that as well. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, caller, let me jump in here. So as a man being in a toxic situation, we've heard, you know, the last caller and just how her family dynamic worked, whether it was background, you know, whatever the case may be. So as a man, when you finally realize that this has been done to you, how do you claw your way back and find yourself?
Man, that is the journey. It's definitely a journey. I can say that. It takes some patience. It takes some family, you know, close people around you that real people around you, not judgmental people that was looking like, well, I told you not this, I told you that. No, actually people who support you, who actually say, hey, well, no matter what happened, you know, I'm still here, whether it's good, you go back, you don't, you don't need those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes some real evaluation of self. Like when enough is enough, you know what I mean? That's basically what you have to come to, man. Understanding of oneself that enough is enough. When you just can't take it anymore, when you find yourself going through the door and you're just disgusted by what you see, when you find yourself pulling in the driveway and you're just disgusted with where you pull to. When you find yourself waking up and you disgusted who you land next to. Those are all signs that enough is enough. And you know what I'm saying? There's an awakening that needs to be happening. And so a lot of times, like I said, the distortion of the I love yous and let's make it work, that those things are hindering and it throw you off of your track. So you have to be strong-minded, man. But strong minds don't just come overnight. That's another thing that you have to develop in the midst of your growth. And that's something I had to tell myself. You have to develop this in the midst of your growth. You have to tell yourself this is not what you want anymore. You have to move in that manner, that you don't want this anymore. And I feel like once I finally did that, once I got the courage to do that, then my life changed dramatically.
That's good.
So are there children involved, or were there children involved?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely children involved.
Okay, so from your aspect, how did this affect the children?
Well, children are children, so you don't get the full emotion, the full understanding from them right then and there, man. So it's kind of hard to describe. But I can, you know, over the years, you can clearly see that, you know, there was some type of effect from the situations we were in. And I, you know, I don't like to base it off behaviors and stuff like that, but I just think that certain things kids shouldn't see. And you never know, you know, the reciprocation of that until the kids once get older. And a lot of things did come to the forefront once you know, children began to get older and a lot of resentment and, you know. But it's regardless, man, when it's always the worst of situations when kids are involved. So.
Agreed.
Indeed.
Agreed. And, bro, he says something. The caller says something that really, like, stood out to me, and it made me pause when he was talking. He talked about enough being enough. And I realized, man, everybody's enough is different. And I'm saying that from a personal realization, as I've spoken to people and feel like it should be enough for them. Like, when are you going to wake up? We've all seen somebody, we know somebody, and we're looking like, man, when are you going to wake up? But they haven't got that enough yet. Everybody's enough is different. You know, and so I would just want to encourage everybody to be mindful of that. One thing that this male listener said is the people around you that really care, the true supporters, not yes men. There's going to be some people that's going through things, man. Just support them. Love them. You know, be there for them. When they go to talk, ask them, hey, do you want my advice or you just want me to listen? Two different scenarios. Sometimes, and I will admit my flaws, sometimes I'm giving advice to a situation and I should have just been a listener and just letting that person vent. So I definitely appreciate you kind of throwing that in, man. Enough is enough was a very, very, very powerful statement.
Caller dropped. I don't see them anymore, but nonetheless, man, I so much appreciate just the two sides to the story. And you know, as we have a little time left, you know, I was in a toxic marriage, been happily married this time for 17 years. My first marriage, man, it was tick for tat. And at some point, you know, in a situation, especially in a relationship like that, you know what? I'm going to put a pin. Our caller just got back on the air.
Sorry about
caller,
that. I'm back online now.
Yep, I got you back. So I'm going to toss it back to Darren as he can reiterate that point so you can go off of there.
Yes, and I apologize. So what we were saying is you had made a statement just saying that enough is enough. And one of the things that stood out to me is everybody is enough is different. You know, for me, it might be 3-4 steps. For somebody else, it might take 1. Somebody else, 8 things their way. And we just got to learn to be mindful of other people in their particular situations as they're going through the various things, because it does impact the kids. There are things I personally went through situations, just like you said, you don't know fully how it affects kids until you know fully how it's affecting the kids. And when it happens, there is no proactive, it's all reactive. We can try to do things up front, but you never really can prepare for it. what, I know you mentioned, you know, you came to the realization when enough was enough, when you just get to the point, you know what, I pull up in the driveway, I'm not even going in right away. I might circle the block a few times just to try to woo-saw before I go in this house. And this is for male and female listeners, what advice, if you could just give a quick 30 seconds to somebody that's going through a situation that's not beneficial for them, and it could be relationship, it might be a friendship. I know some people out there, man, they have very good friends. But once a friend seems to get out of that same scenario that bonded them in friendship, the other friend doesn't seem to have the same concern. It's like, you're not in the same sinking ship as me no more, so cut that communication. So it doesn't matter what the situation is. What would you tell somebody that is in a toxic environment? What are the steps they need to do today?
Well, enough is enough works in, you know, whether relationship, friendship, like you said. That is something that I use as an out, basically. And for anybody who's in that particular situation, I mean, there's different steps for different scenarios. If it was, you know, just relationship, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, the first thing you need to do is look at your position in life and where you are. And that determines where you're going moving forward. Because if there's nothing you can really put yourself in position to do for yourself and all of that, I've been through a lot of different things, man. So I've had a time to grow and, you know, evaluate myself and learn and, you know, from mistakes and therefore. So everything that I speak is from experience, none just hoax. So, man, anybody, you know, in relationships looking to get out, man, first have to evaluate themselves, man, and make sure this is what they want to do. If this is not salvageable. And if they realize that, you know, that they have been physically drained, emotionally drained, and all of that, then that's when it starts time to take steps on moving forward. And moving forward is not easy, and it's hard to describe how to start moving forward in a situation that, you know, you're unaware of. Because moving forward is the most difficult part of the recovery. Because people fall, you know, it's like backsliding. You know, you want to be right, you want to get through God and everything, but smoking that joint might seem a little cool tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? If I had a hard day, you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how it is in relationships, man. If, you know, I don't want to leave Terry, but, you know, Chris been on that bullshit. So I might as well keep messing with him, you know, and rather than have to deal with both of that bullshit. You know, and then people's minds be set to stuff like that. And, it, you know, it's called an entrapment with that too. So it really has to be, and like I said, an evaluation of oneself, man, of what you really want. And once you decide what you really want and you're determined, you're stuck on that, then you begin the process of moving forward and moving on. Then, because after that, things that the whomever it is, whether it's friend or mate, you know what I'm saying, it starts to not affect you the same way it once did. Those disrespectful words, they become lessons. They become, instead of them knocking you down, they become builders. Those, you know, the not showing up, basically, it becomes it's pulling you down, now it'll start pulling you up. So I can vouch for that as well, man. And that's a hell of a transition, and it actually makes you feel good about yourself, man. So, you know, I'll say this again, first and foremost, you have to be determined, make the decision that, one, this is not what you want anymore. And two, I want something better for myself. And the process begins from there.
Nice. I love it. Well, we definitely want to thank you for your time, sir, Tony. I'm going to toss it back to you, my man.
Yeah, one last thing before you go, caller. So you keep using the phrase moving on. What does moving on look like?
Man, when they say the grass ain't green on the other side, step your ass on the other side of the fence. I promise you. That's what I mean by that. Go out that gate.
Hop the fence.
Like you used to back in the day with no hands and hop the fence.
Yeah,
hop the fence. It's like palm trees on a sunny beach on a nice day. That's the best way I can describe it, man. If you want your paradise, you know, you have to, you know, step into the ocean. So, and it can't be afraid of getting wet. So
I love it.
That's what I can say from my perspective and, you know, my current situation.
Well, I'm going to applaud you as well Reason why, as well as, you know, the other caller, but this is the thing. With, especially with black men, we do not like talking about our struggles.
We do not like talking
about our times where we were made feel less than, that we were, you know what? Here's the word, vulnerable. We do not like talking about times that made us vulnerable and, you know, that we were actually need, that we needed help. And when you come to that point, like you say, when you realize who you, and you say, you know what, man, I need help. I can't do this no more. And as you relayed earlier, caller, that is the biggest revelation. So if nobody else supports you, you know what, this is for y'all.
Yes, sir.
We just really appreciate that transparency, man. And if this, whether it's live or archived, helps one person feel better about themselves, that they can have hope. Because we do know that a lot of these situations, man, they end jail time, graveyard, you know? And if we can start breaking the cycle and understanding with each other, and a lot of times when we're in those toxic relationships, we refuse to listen because, you, like you said earlier, because we're not fed up. We have not had enough. So, man, I just really appreciate your time as a young man out here, man, just, you know, living and keeping pushing forward and rebounding and getting back and understanding that every relationship is not like that. Kudos for you.
Absolutely. And just even having an open mindset to want to do something different. You know how many situations I see somebody and they go through something and their mind is so fixed on all that bad and that negativity and everything that went wrong and all the he say, she say, they don't even want to give anybody or anything the opportunity because they're so fearful. So just kind of stepping out and just trusting, you know, the process and trusting what you want. Like you said, you got to learn who you are and you remembered who and what you love and just getting back to that, man. So I agree. Hats off to you. Being a black man is never easy. Being vulnerable, not easy. Nobody to talk to. You can't talk. People are going to say you soft. We've been taught that since a kid. Stop crying.
Right.
Being boys don't cry. Toughen up. Suck it up. Right. Get up. And so we, what happens is we reach a point where life's, because life be lifing. We reach this particular point in life, and all those things that we learned as a kid growing up, all those things that we were taught not to do, first off, those people ain't around. It is so rare. It is so rare that you got one or two friends from, you know, grade school, grass stains on the knees of the jeans days that you still are close with. So all those people that taught us these habits, they're not even around. And we're left carrying all this residue as we're trying to go into our manhood and run our households, be a head of a house, be this king that we call to be, not just on the spiritual level, but even in the physical level, in the midst of everything that we got going on. So
the whole time you traumatized.
Man. So definitely hats off to you as well as Mia, our other caller. We thank y'all. If you don't mind sticking around, even though the show technically is getting ready to end, we've got a few more minutes we want to bleed over into. So if you guys want to stick around, listen, we got a little bit more for you if you don't mind.
Awesome. All good.
All righty, sir. All right, y'all. So we got a few callers on the line really quick, man. And when I come to you, I'll just call your last four. Not worry about the area code or the first four. Whether it's just, you know, remarks, kudos to the callers, you know, whatever the case may be. So I'm going to start here. 1524. Whether you want to have words or not, I got you live on the air. You there, caller? All right. So that caller did not want to have words. Well, we do appreciate your support.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in.
And, you know, I'm going to bring on my biggest supporter, my best critic. She may not be ready, but guess what? Get ready. You live, baby. Good evening.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, good evening. Soon-to-be birthday girl.
Indeed.
Yes.
3 hours. What's your thoughts on tonight's episode? What is some quick takes that you kind of pulled out of this past hour.
And before she speaks, because we know family can be toxic too, doesn't that also have to be a love relationship? So go ahead and go, baby.
Very true.
For me personally, what I pulled out is recognize what is toxic and who is toxic around you. And when you're strong enough to get rid of them, do it by any means necessary to keep your health, your mental, and everybody that you value in the clear. And just appreciate who you are. You can't love somebody else until you love who you are. Because sometimes we're toxic to ourselves because we allow others to pour into us and be a doormat. But you got to realize who you are so that you can come up out of those toxic situations. That's pretty much it for me.
That's something. Indeed. But thank you, love.
I like that, bro.
Yeah.
She said being toxic to yourself sometimes. And it's crazy when she said that. You know what it reminded me of? So, well, my kids, man, you know, I remember them being small, and I had bought them, you know, some pet fish, these betta fish. And so you can't put two male betta fish in the same container. You would just butt them up to each other. So the boys, everybody had their own particular fish. Do you know what happens after about a week or 2 weeks if you don't take that fish out and clean the tank? It literally can kill itself because its environment becomes toxic because of itself. And so what I heard her say is sometimes we are toxic to ourselves. You got to step out of your own situation, out of your own environment sometimes. And that's why sometimes you hear people, I'm moving from such and such. I'm leaving Texas. I'm leaving St. Louis. I'm leaving. You leaving? Yeah, ain't nothing there. I got to get out of this fishbowl because I'm polluting myself.
Mm.
You got to step out of your own environment sometime, man. So I appreciate you, Ms. Dyson. You know, that hit home.
Yeah, and as we get ready to wrap this thing up for the evening, you know, as being a, you know, person that was in a toxic relationship, man, when you find that one, like, that is going to build you up. Well, you know what? Let me say this. That's going to assist in building you back up brick by brick because they see who you are and what you can become. They understand where you've come from, and now they're investing in you. People, I'm telling you, when I translated over out of the marriage into my relationship with my wife, I was damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
And being damaged goods, you know, you put a rotten orange in the bowl with fresh oranges, what happens?
Pollutes everything.
When you're damaged goods, everything that you touch, whether it's work, relationships, friendships, health, mindset, everything starts to deteriorate and be polluted. But when you find that person that understands that pollutant that's in your life and says, you know what, okay, we got to get rid of this. And as she's on the phone, that pollutant for me was recommitment. Because I understood where I had come from and understood what it had done to me. And she gave me an ultimatum. Look, man, you're coming and going is nice and all of that, but I need more. Either you in or you out, or you committing or not. And me making that decision, because I could have very well not made that decision. Me making that decision at 2:30 in the morning was the best decision I ever made in my life, man. And here I am years later. I'm the best version of me that I've ever been. So I say that to say this. Even as you're trying to come out, you're going to have to recognize who and what is there for you, because sometimes it's easy to rebound and be back in the same place again. But there are people out there that have core values, man, that will reel you in, that will love you as much as you need to be loved, that will hug you as much as you need to be loved, that will fill you back up. But the thing is as they fill you back up with that love and with that nurturing that you may not have had, they're not going to stop when you're full. It's going to continue to pour over and spill over. Now you got love and commitment to give others. So with that being said, We're going to bring Mia back on the phone real quick just because the caller heard her side and she heard his. So bring her on real quick for a one-minute recap. And, y'all, we're going to get up out y'all hair. So, Mia, well, here he goes. Mia, are you there?
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you for staying on this long. We really appreciate it. With the male caller, was there anything that caught your attention or anything that you're like, man, that was so similar?
Yeah, I think people don't understand. That's why I'm about to raise a son. And, you know, men are just as fragile, I would say, as women, you know, and society still has that, like, stigma that men are supposed to not be weak or not cry. And that's very true in our culture too. And that's why there's, you know, the things that are happening, you know, or had happened. Mm-hmm. And like I said, some people, just because you're toxic doesn't mean you're a bad person. And now I have a son that I have to raise, and I can, you know, I'm not a man or a male. So I would never know. But I know raising one is going to be very hard in today's society, and I would sacrifice anything for myself, because I'm going to raise him to be a good boy. I don't want him to be, you know, if he's in trouble, you know, we're going to work through it.
Awesome. Once again, thank you again for your bravery. You go get one of these too. Because, again, it does take a lot to come on. So we appreciate your time. We appreciate your experiences and what your experience is and, you know, what you're currently experiencing. So we really appreciate it and value that. And we're here. Anytime, you know, you can just reach us by Facebook. Of course, the show airs on Wednesdays at 8. You can call the number that you called tonight. And we appreciate your time. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
Thank you.
So, y'all, as we get ready to say goodbye for tonight, man, our episode next week, I believe, is mental health, bro.
Yes, sir, mental health. We just going to continue on this journey. We're going to keep breaking down stereotypes and kind of digging in to some tough topics, spending a little bit more time. Real quick, I want to share something. We all have different tastes. And so you kind of talked about earlier, you know, your first marriage and just kind of dealing with not domestic violence, but just an abusive relationship in general. And I think for me, my outlook on abuse and domestic violence was shaped extremely young. And so something that only a select few really would know. First, I'm the youngest of my mom's 5 kids. And so there's about a 10-year gap that starts from me to the next set of siblings up, the twins. And so growing up, you know, my dad was a cop. My mom was in the medical field. Being a two-parent household that had those type of parents, my home was one of the trusted homes, you know, where people didn't mind sending their kid to because they knew, you know, our atmosphere was conducive to what they would want in their home. And so my two twin sisters, they had best friends growing up that you can imagine, because we were so tight-knit, they indeed became an extension of my family as well, almost like my sisters. And so they got to an age to where, you know, now I'm about 8 or 9, they're 18, 19, everybody's going off to college. My two sisters, and one, shout out to Heaven, extremely intelligent. By 16, they're graduating high school, right? One of the friends ends up going to college. And mind you, I'm going to leave out a lot of the true details just out of, I don't know who in radio world is listening and all of that. But my extended family goes to college. She's in a situation to where we're dealing with right now, where we're saying, hey, How do I recognize I'm in a toxic relationship? What do I do? How can I get out? And I wish this was information that we could have shared back then. So what ends up happening, the gentleman that she at the time was dating, I guess, you know, she tried to break it off. I don't know to what extent, because again, a lot of details were left out for me because I was so young. But ideally what ended up tragically happening was that young man climbed through her apartment window and he murdered her. And so my view on domestic violence, and especially as it pertains to women, is so different to where it strikes an emotional core for me, you know, because I guess I've seen a version of it so young and couldn't understand why, you know, a male that would be more physically imposing would, you know, do those things. So we're going to continue to touch on topics like this. We know we ran a little bit over. We appreciate all those who have stuck around. For those who can't listen, tell a friend. It'll be archived. We're going to just be honest and real and put everything out on the table, because I think where we all need to go, this is the kind of thing we need. An avenue to not feel like you alone, to not feel like you're going through something solo dolo. I think a lot of people they feel that way. That is why I felt it was so important to bring a listener like Mia into the mix. And I wanted her to speak to her ethnicity, not because there's a difference in domestic violence from one community to the next, but simply because in certain communities, in our community, we have no clue on what's going on in the Asian American world. We don't have a clue on what's going on in a certain other ethnicity world, because a lot of times we don't have a representation that we know that we can share and learn from. So just having somebody like that we can talk to, hear from, it just helps reiterate, you know what, there's hope. We're not alone. Our male caller, he stated, hey, I've made my way out of this situation. He's steadily learning and going through it. And I just want to encourage everybody, like, continue to do what you're doing. Tomorrow is a new day. Whatever today's trials and tribulations were, like whatever you went through, man, you are enough. I know a lot of times people are trick us into thinking it's not them. It's always going to be us. You know, I'm not enough. I've heard people say many a time, I know somebody, man, nobody's going to want me with X amount of kids. Who told you that? Who told you that just because you have two kids, three kids, I don't care if you got three different baby daddies, that nobody would want you? Men, because you have two different baby mamas, nobody's going to want you. Who told you that lie? The person that you're dealing with, they wanted you just fine. Don't let anybody manipulate you and to trick you and deceive you into things, because manipulation is really, it's a root in witchcraft. So manipulation is something that is a totally different breed. Like, you are enough. You're valuable. And anytime somebody is impressing upon you that your value is less than what they're bringing to the table, that's where that enough is enough that our male caller chimed in about. And we need to kind of revisit what we're saying is acceptable. And it almost piggybacks on what we went on last week, and I'm going to wrap this up, bro, and turn it back over. When we talk about breaking off, even what Ms. Dyson is stating, when she's saying love yourself enough and to put yourself before all things. And that's not saying that, hey, anything that's contrary, you know, you just throw it in the trash. No, it's saying have enough self-respect, self-love to know that if I can't make sure that I'm good, how can I do anything for anybody else? And just like whether it's a fast food, when you go through a restaurant and you're negotiating, hey, they tell you it's X amount of price, this is the product. You have a choice. You could go there day after day after day, and guess what? Day 10, they change the price. They have the opportunity to do that. You have the opportunity to decide what you're going to do. That's what we're saying when it comes to relationships, friendships, work environments. When you started working your job 5 years ago, they paid you a salary, a wage. 5 years later, I know you're not still expecting to make the same thing you did 5 years ago. You're looking for increase. Why? Because you're bringing more to the table. And what you're desiring now in this phase of the relationship, your workship, your friendship, your relationship is different than what it was when you first got started. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Have enough idea of what you command for yourself, and that's what you're charging. That charge could be love, time, attention, care, concern, value, appreciation, but make sure it's being met. Bro, take us out.
All right, y'all. I had this playing in the background, man, because I want y'all to listen to the words of this, but I'm going to bring it back full blast as we leave. We'll be back next Wednesday, our regular time, 8 o'clock conversation, 516-531-9473. Or simply look us up on Facebook at Life, B, L-I-F-I, apostrophe N, podcast. You will get in touch with us. So, y'all, until next time, understand that life be lifing, and we will always be here to talk about it. Peace.
Hey.
All I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night makes you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you stayed. What made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you fall for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down, cause he said you was too tall for him, huh? That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said that he was growing from his
love
demon.
Is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love, it's truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love, it's truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you when I kill you.